Whether you're looking for a Chevy car, truck, or SUV, go see my friends at Apple Chevy in Tinley Park. With over 500 new and used vehicles in stock, they have what you're looking for and at the lowest price possible. Go to applechevy.com. Can I have a wagon rolling at 5 o'clock, just in case you're wondering? Because God knows I'm wondering. Anna DeVlantis is here.
Yeah, looking
happy
forward.
Birthday thank to you. Anna DeVlantis, by the way.
Thank you. 29
I like when
the birthday falls on the Friday because, you know, it turns into an automatic birthday weekend.
Yeah,
you know?
That is right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. My birthday is, as the nation knows, mm-hmm. is in early June. I'm still celebrating.
Cool. Well, okay. Some do it that way, too. Six months?
I take it as a season. I think that it sort of kicks off the summer season, and that's what we do. It's all about
too much celebrating, maybe.
Yes, might be.
Set you back yesterday.
Yes. No, that was not celebration.
No?
No, that was clearly a...
It was just general food intake?
That was a viral... That was something of a bad nature. All right. Congressman Peter Roskam is on the Super Celebrity Hotline. About an hour ago, we talked to Dick Durbin. We're talking about the Iranian deal with him. And I want to start off with the congressman who's a Republican congressman from the western suburbs here. I would like to just basically encapsulate what the senator said, and I know you've been hearing this a lot, which is, hey, this is a deal that we have to agree to now because the other side of it is that Iran then, despite the sanctions, may have enough fissile material to build 10 to 12 nuclear devices within the next couple of months, and that's according to our friends in Israel, and they're concerned about it, so this deal is better than no deal. What do you say about that, Congressman?
So Secretary Kerry made the point when he gave a briefing row before the House a couple of days ago, and at the end of Kerry's briefing, he puts his hands up and he says, friends, what are the alternatives? And when during the question and answer time, I got up and I said, you know, Mr. Secretary, basically, you don't get to make that argument because through the entire time the White House has been negotiating this deal, you have said you're willing to walk away from a bad deal. And Kerry himself said he's willing to walk away three different times from a bad deal. So the subtext of that argument is, There's no alternative. Of course there's an alternative, and that is to keep the sanctions on and to keep the Iranians at the table. The French foreign minister told two members of Congress that if the U.S. walked away from the deal, we would get a better deal in the future from the Iranians. There's a lot of parallel here between what Reagan did with Gorbachev up in Reykjavik, where he walked away, and 12 months later, he triumphed.
Yes, but that was there is a significant difference there too because the world just waited. It was a bilateral situation, not a multilateral situation as we have here, and you have a number of different dynamics involved in that, including what we knew and actually what Ronald Reagan knew and that people in his staff knew, which is that Russia was on the Soviet Union was on the brink of collapse economically, and that if that 12 months benefited them, they didn't think that we knew it, and we did know it. And do we know that? So let me ask you this: do we know that about Iran? These sanctions, which you know many have described as crippling, would it implode their economy? And does that make Iran more dangerous if their economy implodes?
Look, I think it makes them more vulnerable to pressure. I would argue that the reason that the Iranians came to the table in the first place is because of the sanctions. Remember, this is the most recalcitrant regime that's been out there for a long, long time. So for them to step forward and come to the table in light of collapsing oil prices and tighter sanctions is something that I think is really, really significant. There's another thing to remember. The White House right now and Secretary Liu, the Secretary of the Treasury, is over-characterizing the ease with which sanctions are put back on. They've said they will, quote, snap back. Well, think about that. If the sanctions go back on, what does that mean? That means that it's open field running for the Iranians again, and they can do whatever they want. So human nature, if you look at the way the Iranians have conducted themselves up until now, they cheat on an incremental basis. They take a little step and a little step and a little step. This has been their pattern. So the idea that somehow a little step is going to provoke all of the sanctions regime to come all back on is, I think, a false claim. So I just think I think the White House has really mishandled this. I am not in favor of this deal, and I think if it comes to fruition, we will regret it.
Secretary Kerry said today that, hey, if we don't go with this deal, do you think the Ayatollah is going to come back to the table if Congress refuses us to negotiate again? Is that line of reasoning? Do you see any point in that?
I take your point, and it's not a bad argument. I'm just not persuaded by it. So go back to the mid-80s when Reagan walked away from Gorbachev, and I realize bilateral is different than multilateral, but the whole world came down on Reagan. If you look at the history, a book called Reagan at Reykjavik by Ken Edelman, even Reagan's his own advisors were pressuring him to make the deal, basically the deal of a century. He walked away from it, and ultimately we ended up eclipsing the Soviet Union. I think when it comes down to it, look, at the last minute, there were two new things that got tossed on based on the Iranian demands. One was their ability to pursue intercontinental ballistic missile technologies in 8 years. That was not part of the deal going into this.
Right.
And their ability to get conventional weapons unmitigated and unrestrained within 5. And the other thing is, there is no limitation on what they're able to do with the $150 billion that they're going to get in sanctions relief. And this has been the most aggressive regime that we have seen in decades in terms of the proliferation of terror. It's a bad deal.
Congressman, can I ask you to hold on for a couple of seconds here? Because
for sure.
On the other side, I want to talk to you about this IRS. You're on the House Ways and Means Subcommittee, and the GAO commissioned a study which concluded that the IRS audit selection process is at risk for unfair targeting of organizations based on their politics or whatever the case is, which is a story that was pretty hot a couple of years ago and sort of faded out of our view, thinking, well, they must have fixed that problem.
No.
Well, apparently not. So hold on one second, Congressman. We'll come right back. We'll talk to you about that. Congressman Peter Roskam is with us. And we'll take another caller on Is It Trump or Is It Berlusconi?
It's more difficult than I imagined.
Yeah.
That competition.
That is that's true. So right now, 10th caller, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You have an opportunity to rip us off for a 4-pack to the Sycamore Speedway or a gift certificate to Paisano's Pizza. Either way, it works out for you. Congressman Peter Roskam is on the Super Celebrity Hotline.
Hey, it's Peter Roskam calling back in.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Well, I'm not going to force you. You know, I can offer you the same opportunity Dick Durbin took. At the end of our segment here, we're going to play a game. Was it Berlusconi or was it Trump who said this quote?
It's a very difficult game.
Yeah, I know, Congressman. You are way too esteemed to play this with us. But you can help you could be the lifeline for the caller.
Phone a friend.
Yeah, exactly. You could be that. So stay tuned.
Senator Durbin was. He helped our caller.
He had the winner right there. So you never know. It's keeping up, Peter. All right, here we go. Let's talk about this. Basically what you did, because you're the Ways and Means Oversight Committee chairman. You guys got the General Accounting Office to go out and look at the IRS audit selection process. And remember there was this, I know you remember, but for reminding those, remember there was this whole thing that the IRS may have been out of the Cincinnati office, I don't even know what that means, may have been selectively auditing organizations based on their religious views or their politics.
Or having given to those groups. Contributed to the groups that were conservative groups.
So where does that stand now, Congressman?
Here's the bottom line. So the IRS admitted that they were doing targeting as it relates to the applications for different groups that are applying for tax-exempt status. And then the question becomes, okay, you admit that you've been targeting and sort of slow-walking and messing around with people's applications. But let's ask a deeper question. How do the audits work of these organizations? And so we commissioned the Government Accounting Office, which is this nonpartisan investigative arm of Congress, to go check this out. And they did, and their report was really jarring. They said that there are not currently controls in place to prevent the IRS from doing the types of targeting based on religious, political, and educational beliefs, among other things. And so we had a hearing on that. John Koskinen, the commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service, in my opinion, was pretty dismissive of it. He said, look, these are just hypothetical injuries, and we'll do our best to clean this up in the future. And I argue these are not hypothetical injuries. In fact, the Inspector General of the at the Treasury Department has made a dozen criminal referrals to the IRS within the past year, or to the Department of Justice, regarding some of this activity. So we got to clean this up so that people are just treated fairly and not messed around, messed with by the IRS.
How do we know for sure, though? I mean, one of the issues that will happen here, and obviously there's going to be a change of administration coming up, and maybe it'll be a Republican administration. Well, you know, when Donald Trump is president, Congressman, we won't be having these problems.
No.
But one wonders, though. I mean, one of the things that the reason that the IRS does look at this is they want to make sure that before you get an exemption, that you actually qualify for the tax exemption based on whether you're an educational or religious or a legitimate charity of some sort, as opposed to a political action committee, which is not tax exempt. Right.
I mean, fair enough.
That's right. what they're trying to do.
Yep. They take your point, and that's what everybody wants. The internal controls are the weak link. So, for example, there's only five people at the IRS right now that deal with referrals. Now, 99% of these cases, it's all computer based and no problem, and it's sort of automated review. But what you're doing now is you're saying, okay, if somebody complains, if a political opponent complains, a disgruntled employee complains, how are those complaints handled? Five people deal with it, and there's only one guy, Ro, for the past 6 years that has had the same job, and he's the one, a single individual, who is the person who decides whether this gets referred to an audit committee or not. And so the GAO said, you've got a dysfunctional system here. Mm-hmm. You've got way too much control in the hands of way too few people, and the audit committees themselves are populated by volunteers. So think about that. You know, you got an agenda, you want to work your agenda, you volunteer to be on the audit committee. And so there's some things that we can do, I think, that can make the system so that, yep, there's oversight, there's scrutiny, but it's fair and objective. And it's the objectivity that the GAO was pointing out that was lacking.
All right. Thank you very much. That's an excellent point, Congressman. I appreciate it. Okay, here we go. We got to play the game.
We're ready.
Got to play the game. Now, you can stick around for this, Congressman. I suggest you do because, you know, your Democratic counterpart, you know, he did and he won it for the ladies. So here's Carolyn.
Carolyn. Hi, Rowley. I'm a fan of yours. I really love you.
Thank you. Love you. Aww. Love you more.
Sweet.
Now, here's what you're playing for. A four-pack, family four-pack, the Sycamore Speedway, or a Paisano's Pizza and Pasta card, whichever
Paisano's,
you...
Paisano's.
Okay. that was the second prize. Anyway, the point is, so if you're a winner anyway. Well, you can tell the producer what you want when you get off. All right, here we go. Here's the quote. Was it Silvio Berlusconi who said this, the former prime minister of Italy, or was it Donald Trump, the future president of the United States? Here is your quote. I don't need to go into office for the power. I have houses all over the world.
Trump.
Congressman, do you want to, you're a lifeline. Do you want to help her with this? Do you, which one do you think that is? What happened to the Congress? Oh, I lost the Congress.
Did you lose
Trump?
Him?
Trump.
Oh.
Trump and houses everywhere.
He was going to play.
Where is my Congressman? All right, so you're going to go with Trump, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I would have gone Trump too. I thought that was a gimme.
No.
But you get your Paisano's pizza.
That was a good trick one. That was a good trick.
Thank you very much.
Totally was.
Totally a good one.
And this originated in the New York Times, right? They had a Sunday review, this whole thing, Trump versus Berlusconi thing.
Exactly. I'm stealing it from them. All right. Well, congratulations. Hold on, Carolyn. All right. I'm sorry about the I wanted the congressman to play that game.
I know. It would have been so funny.
Oh, call the congressman and apologize to him. I think I must have done that.
I think he really wanted to play, too.
All right.